Bruce, did one of those pictures have you with hair? What is all that about? And Jared, thank you. You can press pause on that. That's awesome. Hey, let's hear it for Bruce and his testimony this morning. Awesome job, man. You know, today we are beginning a new series called Does Church Matter? And we're doing this in connection with the book that we're studying in our life groups called I Am a Church Member. And over the next 7 weeks, we are on this campaign. We're on this journey where we're talking about, does church matter? And some of you all have asked that question. Some of you all have been down that road. And some of you all are here today because somebody made you come or they bribed you with lunch. Amen. And if they didn't offer you lunch, you really need to hit them up after service and tell them, hey, I came with you. Feed me. Amen. You know, so that's what you need to do. And that'll be great. But this whole next 7 weeks is dedicated to answering that question. Does church matter in your life? Does church make a difference? Is it necessary? Is it of any value? You ask somebody like Bruce, and Bruce would say probably that it does matter, that it matters in your life, and that God does something. And Bruce is one of just several people in this church that have experienced life change, that have experienced God doing something amazing. Now, I want to share with you something just right out of the gate, just swinging right out of the gate. It's estimated that there are 9 out of 10 churches in America. 9 out of 10 churches. Now, just wrap your brain around that. 9 out of 10. That is the majority of churches are either plateaued or declining. That means that 9 out of 10 churches, the majority of churches, are on the downward spiral. In addition to that, two-thirds of the builder generations are Christians. But only 15% of the millennials, and the millennials were born from 1980 to 2000, only 15% of the millennials know Jesus Christ. So if you today were born in the years from 1980 to 2000, if you have followed Christ, if you have made the decision to follow Christ, you are 15% of your generation that believes in Jesus Christ. That's it. So when you have those two groups together, when you have those in the builders that are seeing churches decline, and then you have those that are in their 20s and 30s and going into their 40s, and you see them, only 15% of them know the Lord, I don't blame you for asking that question if church matters. I don't blame you for sitting there saying, Kenny, I just don't know if it makes a difference if I'm actively involved in a church. I don't know if it matters. I mean, they all seem like they're dying. They seem like they're falling apart. Most of my generation doesn't know the Lord. Does it really make a difference? Does it really matter? I understand that. I get that. And on top of that, it seems like it's just not functioning. It seems like this thing called church just isn't working. And by the way, and if you have your notes, follow along with you. Take your ink pen and write it. But here's the deal. If something doesn't function, it's either broken or immobile. I mean, it doesn't take you very long to know if something doesn't work, it's broken or it's not supposed to work. You know, I love the game Mousetrap. Anybody ever, any fans of Mousetrap growing up? You know, I've looked all over to buy Gracie Mousetrap, and apparently Owensboro doesn't like Mousetrap. I don't know what the deal is, but I can't find it anywhere. But Mousetrap is a great game. I love Mousetrap. But when you get Mousetrap out, what is it? It's just a box full of junk. You got to put it together. And if you don't put it together, it doesn't work. And it's immobile. It doesn't function. You could turn the little wheel and the little guy can jump in the bathtub all day long. But if you're missing the marble, what does it do anything? You know? What does it do? You know, so today, if something doesn't function, it's either broken or immobile. And the second thing right at the top of your notes, here's the deal. If a church doesn't function, it loses its witness. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I believe with all my heart that the Bible is truth and it's God's word. It's his inerrant word, his infallible word. I believe when you read it, it changes your life. And the task of a church is to preach the word, communicate the word, help people understand the word so they too can experience life change. But if churches aren't functioning the way God wants them to function, we lose our message. We lose the core principle value of what we stand on, which is the Word of God, and we lose our witness and our credibility, and it's not good. And I fear that the reason that churches are not functioning correctly, and that they're broken, and that they're immobile, is because we have believed a myth. Now, this is in your notes too, but there's a big myth that we are believing about church. We believe as a myth, it's not true, but we believe the church is a country club. Now, let me tell you real quick. Over the next 7 weeks, we're talking about biblical church membership and what that is about. And by the way, we're going to discover today that's actually a Bible word that was hijacked by society, but it's actually a Bible word. Membership is a Bible word that was then taken by other organizations to make it mean something else. It's a biblical word. But here's the myth. We think churches are a country club. And let me explain. We go to church for the perks and privileges. We go to a church for people to serve me. When I go and become a member of a church, I'm entitled to something. A country club mentality says if you don't pay the dues, if you don't wear the right clothes, if you listen to the wrong kind of music, if you have the wrong type of haircut, or if you don't look a certain way, stay out of here. You can't come here because it's a country club mentality. You know, when I was growing up, we lived on the West End, and we always would, on the way to school, we would pass by Atlantis Swim Club. Any Atlantis members in here today? Well, as a little kid, our family didn't have a lot of money growing up, and we would drive by Atlantis, and it almost seemed like this fortress, this impenetrable fortress. And I remember driving by, and I would stick my head out the window and kind of try to get a glimpse of all the happy children at the wave pool, you know? I would try to do that, but we never had enough money growing up to be members of Atlantis. And many of us think, well, a church is like that. If I don't have the right money, if I don't have the right clothes or the right background, if I don't say the right things, if I listen to the wrong kind of music, blah, 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 then I can't come. And I'm telling you today, that idea of church membership is not the Bible. It's not the truth. It's not what the Bible says about what the church is supposed to be. And if your idea of church is a country club where you dress all nice and you look all pretty and you smell all great and you show up to show off and you leave unaffected, first off, you're not going to like Life Community Church. It's not. I was joking with a couple of guys in setup this morning and I said, I'm pretty sure our next church t-shirt is going to be a t-shirt that says, "This is my church shirt." And then on the back it says Life Community. What do you think? Yeah. This is my church shirt. I think that's what we're going to do. Our next round of t-shirts. This is my church shirt. So we'll see what happens. But the reality is church is not a country club. But here's the truth, okay? Every lie has a truth that combats it. Here's the truth. The church is the body of Christ. And we are members of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Instead of going to receive, we give. Instead of being served, we serve. Instead of claiming entitled benefits, we sacrifice. That's what biblical church is. And here's the deal. If you've not seen Bible church, biblical church, I don't blame you for thinking that it's broken and it's immobile because you're ready. It is broken. It is broken. If you go to be seen or you go to be in the country club, it's not the biblical model of church. You're to be involved and active and assimilated into what Christ is doing and Christ in your life and allow the Lord to move. And today you've seen scandals, you've seen the Kool-Aid, you've seen the money stolen, you've seen the hypocrites, you've seen people that'll judge you, you've seen all of that. And I get you. I understand. I know why you don't like church. And can I tell you something? I don't like it all the time either. I really don't. I don't like it all the time either. It bothers me sometimes to see hypocrisy at its worst. But I was reminded one time. Somebody said, "Hey, why go to church with all the hypocrites?" And then somebody said, "Why go to Walmart with all the hypocrites?" Amen. Amen. Here's the real deal. We human beings look at your neighbor and say, "You just human." Tell them. You're just human. And here's the deal. If you're looking for the perfect church, keep on looking. It ain't going to happen. But what we need to understand is that there is a biblical model for the church. Now, if you have your Bible, take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to explore what biblical church membership is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible gives us a kind of a clue, a look at what church is supposed to be about and what a functioning church looks like. And we're going to explain what a church member is and what a church member is not. We first see this, if you're following along your notes, that members belong to Christ. A church member is somebody who belongs to Jesus. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go down to verse 27. It says this, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." One of the favorite metaphors for the church in the Bible is the body metaphor. It's an analogy that's used over and over and over in the Scripture. And it implies that just like we have a body, the church is a body. And in the body, you have fingers, you have eyes, you have ears, you have nose, you have eyes, you have feet, you have legs, you have all of this. And the Bible says that we are the body of Christ and individual members of the body of Christ. Now, what we think is that that church membership is all about signing up on a roll, getting your name on a roll, getting some kind of card stamped, and that's not the biblical model of church membership. Actually, you ready for this? You can't be part of the church until you're first part of Christ. Here's the deal. If you have church membership, but not a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've not known personal forgiveness of Jesus, but somehow your name landed on the roll, can I tell you something? Church members die and go to hell every day. Only the saved and the born again are welcomed into heaven. Church is not some magic spaceship that takes you to heaven. Only Jesus is the one that takes us to heaven. Just Jesus Christ. That's it. Just Jesus. And what we see here is that when you give your life to Christ, when you surrender your heart to Jesus and you believe that He's God, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose from the dead, and you surrender your heart to Christ, the Bible says you receive forgiveness and new life and new beginnings, but it also says that you are now placed in the body of Christ. When Jesus resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven, He left us here on earth to be His presence on earth. He left us to be His body on earth. And now we are to go out and to serve and to make a difference. So if your idea of church membership is just to have your name on a roll, but not to have your name on the roll of heaven, you've messed it up. Church membership is all about knowing Jesus first. So I ask you, do you know Jesus? Is He in your life? Have you given your heart to Jesus? If you were to die today, do you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved? Not because you're a member of a church, but because you're a member of Christ. And today, if you're a member of Christ, He puts you in the body. We go to the next point. When you're put into the body, we understand this, that members work together. They work together. The Bible says in chapter 12, verse 12 and 14, if you're following along your Bible or in your notes, it says, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So the body is not one part, but many. He goes back to the body illustration, that the body is not just one part. The body is made up of ears and eyes and nose and toes and fingers and all that fun stuff. And the body is actually all those people put together. And what's really neat about that is that as a church, we are all different. We're different. If you don't believe that, just look at your neighbor. They don't look like you, okay? Even if you have twins, there's still differences. There's still differences in twins. They're not the same. They're not identical. They're not carbon copies. And when you give your life to Jesus, you ready for this? He gives you a brand new start. But this is going to free some of you all that hate church. Are you ready? Jesus does not take away your personality. He doesn't make you a clone. Listen, if you like comic books, like myself, that's okay. If you like muscle cars, that's okay. If you like to go water skiing, that's okay. Jesus is not here to make you a clone or to make you dress a certain way. But He is to make you part of the overall body. And here's the deal. They are to work together. Now, sadly, the problem that we've seen in churches is that, you know, you got an arm going this way and an arm going that way, and it's confusion, and it causes problems. And we've seen that. We've seen gossip in the church. We've seen fighting in the church. We've seen church people hurting each other. It doesn't make any sense. Because if your right hand is mad at your left hand and you stab it, the whole body's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Likewise, we as a part of a church, we're put in the body of Christ and we're to love and care for each other and work together. And you use your individual gifts, how God has wired you and shaped you to serve together. Not everybody's going to be a preacher, but some might. Not everybody's going to be a teacher, but some might. Not everybody's going to be a greeter or an usher, but some will. Because God uses us all in unique ways. See, church matters today because He uses us in such great ways. We look different. We're of different shapes and sizes. And God uses all of that for His will and His accomplishment. And by the way, when they work together, people see Jesus. Did you know that? They see how good Jesus is. Third, members use their unique gifts. Kind of piggybacking off the last point. But let me show you this right here. If the foot, verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of that, still part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God, now listen to this, but now God has placed each one of their parts in the body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. If the body doesn't work together, there's a problem. But also if the body isn't functioning, if it's not using their gifts, what is it there for? That we are to use our gifts and how God has shaped us and how God is teaching us. In the country club, you pay your dues. You pay to get in. But in the church, we serve and we use. In the country club, they wait on you. They bring you stuff. They feed you. But in the church, we feed people. And we go to people. And we help the hungry. We help the poor. We help those that can't help themselves. We love them in the name of Jesus. Yesterday, we had a group of folks that met at Walgreens and we gave hamburgers. And they served hamburgers. And they gave it away. Our deal with our hamburger deal that we do every year is that we don't take money at all. And it's so funny because people throw money at us and we're like, we're not going to take it. And it just flips their brain out, you know. But you had people there that were serving and helping. And that's how they did it. And God used them. And it was beautiful. You had people going to businesses, giving the people at the shops free hamburgers. No strings attached. See, being part of Christ doesn't mean you got to stand up and preach. Maybe it's flipping a hamburger. Maybe it's flipping a hamburger. And God uses that in a great way. However you're gifted, if it's to sing, if it's to play drums, if it's to preach, whatever, that's great. But here's the deal. When many of us just come and we sit there, and we don't participate, there's a problem. We have a lot of CEO Christians. Christmas, Easter only Christians. Now, see, I can say that today because y'all are guests, and it ain't Christmas nor Easter. Isn't that awesome? Y'all, hey, all of y'all have graduated out of the CEO Christianity. Amen. Isn't that awesome today? Isn't that cool? By the way, 246 in attendance today. Isn't that awesome how good God is? Highest number we've ever had at Life Community is today, the highest number, 246. See, we use our gifts. We combine them together. We work together. We don't gossip and hurt each other. We work together and then we use our individual gifts to help people, to love people. It's amazing. And this is what it's about. And then finally, I want you to see this. This is so important. Members love people. They love people. Now, I want to read you from 1 Corinthians 13:3, and it says, if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Chapter, and this is going to be rocket science for some. Are you ready? Hold on. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians comes after chapter 12. Everybody good on that? Okay, 12, 13, all right? Now, we often read chapter 13 at weddings, and we talk about love, but actually the context of chapter 13, the love chapter, is in context to us functioning as church members. Because it tells us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to function. And the very next thing is this, is that if you don't love people, it makes no difference. If you don't care for people, it doesn't make any difference. And that's what chapter 13 is there for. You ready for this? We, as a body of Christ, it is not an option. It is not a suggestion. We must love people. And you know why we have to love people? Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. That's why we love people. My grandparents, and if you aren't at Life Community Church often, you know that I talk about my grandfather a lot. But my grandmother actually told me a story once about a church they served in. And there was a gal, and this was back in the 70s. And church was really different back in the 70s than it is now. It's really, really different. And amen, those that went to church in the 70s, okay, gotcha, just checking. And my grandparents, I saw a lady that came to church, and they went and visited them and connected with them because, you know, after she came, and she never came back to church. And they always wondered, you know, did something go wrong when we went back and visited them? Did we say something wrong? Did we do something wrong? Why didn't they come back? And as a pastor, you know, you get guests in, and they don't always come back. Not all you guys will come back. And as a pastor that loves people, we want you here, not for numbers, but because we love you and we care very much for you. It means a lot to us that you're here. And my grandpa went back after a series of weeks that this lady had not returned to church. Or maybe it was my grandmother. My grandmother went back and asked this lady. She said, "Hey, I'm just curious, why did you not come back? We saw you, and then like 2 months later, you've never come back." And she said, "Well, I really liked the service. I liked the preaching. I liked the music, and it was nice." She said, "But I'm a working mother, and I wear slacks." We don't even use that word anymore, do we? Slacks. But I wear slacks to work, and that's really all I have. And I came to church, enjoyed the service. And then after the church service was over, somebody told me that if I couldn't wear a dress back to church, don't ever come back. And she said, "I don't have a dress. I can't come back." You know, I don't know if that lady ever received Christ as her Lord and Savior, but here's what I know. I know that some of you all have experienced the same thing in this room. You went to a church where you walked in, it was awkward, it was weird, it was quiet, it looked more like a cult than a community, it was scary, it was crazy, it was wacko. And somebody got up and yelled at you for 30 minutes, and you had no idea what they even said. No one called you, no one connected with you, no one reached out to you. And you're sitting there asking, why does it matter? I mean, they're just a bunch of wackos and weirdos, why does it matter? I'm telling you, when the body of Christ functions the way it's supposed to function and we love people, people won't say, "Why does it matter?" Because they'll come and they'll feel the love of God. They'll feel it. And the Spirit of God is here. And I want to tell you something. If we call you or connect with you, we're not trying to be weird and give you to get you to drink the Kool-Aid or anything like that. We're just trying to love you. Really. It's good to be loved, amen? It's good to be loved. It doesn't hurt anybody to love each other. And if you really want to be a godly church member, are you ready for this? Put all this together. If you really want to be a Christian that represents your church in a great way, understand that you belong to Christ. Understand that you got to work with other people in the church. And you don't always get to pick who those other people are, amen? And you got to use your unique gifts. You got to serve the way God wants you to do. And then finally, you just got to love people. See, most people feel isolated and alone, though they're surrounded by social media and Twitter and Facebook and people at work, but they actually feel alone. They need guidance and help with their relationships, with their families. They need a community, but they don't know what to be part of. They don't know where to plug in, where to get their young family involved in, where to send their children, where to get guidance that they need. And here's what I'm telling you. This is why God gave us the church. For us to sharpen each other, for us to worship God with each other, make disciples, to fellowship, to evangelize, and to help people minister, to preach His word faithfully, to inspire us and encourage us, to change our lives, to rid us of sin that hurts us in our lives. Today, we need a community. Amen. Life is too hard just to come and not be involved. It is too hard not to have people around you. One more illustration and I'm done. When I was in college, there was two gyms. There's more than two, but there was two gyms in town that I tried out. And if you look at me, I didn't try it out for very long. Okay? All right? I'm more of a not really Arnold Schwarzenegger shaped, more Mr. Potato Head shaped. That's just kind of who I am, okay? But there was one gym in town that required you to pay the dues. And you would pay the dues, and you would get your club card, and you'd stamp. Some of y'all remember gyms like that in town. But then there was another place in town that was a church. And they had a really, really good gym in their church, full basketball court and everything. And if you were a student at the university, it was yours. They had the same, they had actually better equipment than the place you paid for at. Better facilities. And all you had to do was step into there because somebody had already paid for it for you. So you could either go to something lousy and crummy and pay money for it, or you could step into something wonderful that was paid for you to enjoy. You know, the church is kind of the same way. Did you know that? The membership due to be part of the church is not how much money you give or how much this or that, a time you put in or what you do. The membership dues of the church, are you ready for this? Was paid for by Jesus Christ. The end. And when he suffered and bled on the tree called the cross, he opened the door for whoever would turn away from their sins and come to Christ. Are you ready for this? They would be included in his body. And today the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He will not turn you away. No matter how you look, where you come from, what you're dealing with, he will not turn you away. Biblical church membership is being part of Christ and acting like Christ. So today there's a decision to make, and this is it. My decision today is to be part of the body of Christ, and that comes through believing and receiving Jesus. And then for those that know Christ, and to function the way he intended me to function. Maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus. I would invite you today to do that. Oh, he loves you. Oh, he loves you. And as our band begins to come and Taryn begins to come and play softly, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head this morning. To bow your head, and as we reflect on what we just heard and what we were just taught. You know, ask yourself real quick, with heads bowed and eyes closed, what are you part of? You're part of schools? You're part of team projects at church or at work? Are you part of groups or clubs? That's great. But I want to ask you, are you part of the body of Christ? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you were to die today, do you know that you know that you know he's in your heart? That he's alive, that he died on the cross, and he gave his life to you? Christian, if you're here today, are you functioning the way God wants you to function as a church member? Are you more country clubbish, or are you more of a member that functions? Are you coming to be served, to have your preferences met? Or are you coming to serve? Makes a big difference. Today we invite everybody to look in your heart. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And you've heard today that Jesus is not against you, he is for you. He is God, he is the only way. Today I want to invite you to pray with me and ask Christ into your heart for the very first time. If you've never done that for the very first time, I invite you to pray to receive Jesus and turn from your sin and call upon Christ. He won't turn you away. He's not exclusive. He's not inclusive. He'll let everybody in if you believe and trust in Jesus. You ready? For those that need to ask Christ in their heart, pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm on the outside. But thank you for Jesus. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look right here, everybody. If you prayed that today and asked Christ in your heart, I want you to come and tell me. We're going to sing here in a second. When we stand and sing at the end, that is a response time where we pray and we talk to God. Some people may want to come and pray at the altar. because they were trying to apply what they just learned. They're trying to talk to God about that. Maybe you need to come today and just take me by the hand and say, can you, I accepted Christ? Or maybe you need to put that on your card, I accepted Christ for the very first time today. Maybe today you're a Christian and you were challenged to work together, to be functioning, to love people, and to know who you belong to today. However God is calling you to serve, would you do that? Let's stand. Let's sing as God speaks through our hearts. God calls you to do today. You come.